12, Revelations 12, and Romans 8. That's where we'll go through today. I'm really excited about what's going to happen right now. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you because we are people that are about to have an encounter, individual encounters with Jesus Christ and all that he has accomplished and all that you are in us. Lord God, I thank you that you dwell in the midst of your people and you dwell in the midst and you dwell in our hearts by faith. I ask you, Holy Spirit, you who are the ambassador of power, and according to the riches of glory, Father, you would send Holy Spirit to strengthen us with might in our inner man, every one of us, and everyone on the internet waiting, watching. I declare and decree that according to the riches of glory, our Father would strengthen us with might through his Spirit in our inner man. Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. Lord Jesus, make yourself known inside of us now. Where we have grown disconnected, then knock on our heart and say, peekaboo, I'm here. Welcome me. Receive me. Holy Spirit, we thank you that Jesus is in our hearts by faith. And we ask that you would rise up, Lord Jesus, to be who you are and we are. Because we no longer live now. If we've received you, it is Christ that lives in us by faith. And we are new creations and all things have been made new. So we receive awakened newness. Just as worship is called for that, communion is called for that, the offering is called for that, and the call to the nations and the poor have called for that. We now allow this response, rise up, Lord Jesus, inside of us. Arise, O God, let your enemies be scattered. Even as this message goes, may it not be just a message people hear and think, well, that's wonderful, but it be a message people step into, encounter, and live, and demonstrate, and signs and wonders would accompany the word. We pray, Lord, that you would now cause us to be rooted and grounded in love. Every form of accusation, slander, condemnation, every form of cursing, hexing, vexing, destruction against any of your sons and daughters is neutralized, nullified, and shut down in Jesus' name right now. No one lives and listens under condemnation. Jesus Christ was made a curse for us. There's no cursing the body of Jesus Christ by anybody in any way because Christ became the curse for us. So we now agree with that fact. And we instead receive what has been given to us, the blessing of Abraham through Jesus Christ and the promise of Holy Spirit by faith. This love, we now say, would become an ocean as it is, height, breadth, width, depth, that's beyond any of our experience in one experience or in a lifetimes of experience. It's just beyond our comprehension, yet we want to experience it. So, Lord, just as we might freak out if you dropped us in the middle of the Pacific just between here and Santa Cruz Island, but yet if we were able to trust and rest in that moment and knew we were safe and wonderful and it was a calm day, we'd be thinking, awesome. So, Lord, drop us in the middle of the ocean of love. And if it is a frightening experience because of control we lose, let us be assured that if we lose control, we come into trust. And trust is better than control. Now, Lord God, we thank you that you're in us and you do beyond anything we can ask or think. So right now, we ask you to quicken and awaken our imagination, to think again, to dream again, to believe again, to anticipate things beyond what we can think or act so you can do more, because you can do more, because you're filling us with the fullness of God right now. And by faith, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you're going to cause every one of us to stand up in a place in Christ, because Christ is going to stand up inside of us. We're going to go with the flow. We're going to listen to your voice. And we're going to rise up. And we're going to break apart the lies that have shut us down and told us we can't get up. We're going to dismantle that because that's just what you want us to do. Because you already paid the price so we could be free. So lies are lies. And when they're believed, they become true to us and they put us in captivity. But when we hear the truth, believe the truth makes us free. And we live in liberty. And it was for freedom that Christ made us free. It was for freedom. We don't go back to the law because if we go back to the law, then Christ died in vain and the whole thing is a sham. And we're just trying to be better people through observing better rules. And maybe that works, but it isn't salvation. Salvation is Jesus Christ. who came in the flesh, who became sin for us, who died for us, who became poverty for us and died for us, who became sickness for us and died for us, so that we who are sick, who are poor, and who are unsaved could be saved, made righteous, healed, and delivered. And so we receive this truth, and we say, now make it real. Make it, break it through. Break it out. It's time for the earth to see what you did, not what we can do. They've already seen what we can do. We've done a bad job at making a good reputation of you. But you are able to make a great reputation of yourself. Because Holy Spirit, you're the one that Jesus said can give us, make us a witness. So Holy Spirit, we defer to you right now. While we sit in this chair, while we listen on the internet, while we move in contemplative prayer later, we say, make yourself known. And make Jesus known in us. In a glorious fashion, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Wednesday night, we will release the sound of the Father's heart. We just got through with about 50 plus 40 Beyonders who have traveled into the heart of the Father for 5 weeks, and they want to release the sound of that, give it away, pray, and bless. So I encourage you to come on Wednesday. 2 Corinthians, this verse I'm just going to use to help frame everybody into a place that I'm talking to you this morning. And then I want to go to where the big battle, the scope of the sequence of where we are in life right now, in the world, in time. And then I want to go to the personal application and stepping into it. So in Revelation 12, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. And Kim, I forgot the offering with you, dude. I'll do it next week. That's Kim back there. I can't see him. He's invisible. No. Too much time with grandkids. I'm sorry. Okay. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Powerful, important language of Holy Spirit. And all of us are recipients of this. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up into the third heaven. The experience of Holy Spirit speaking, resting, talking, influencing us, whether reading the scripture, praying, worshiping, can be so substantial and often is that you're not sure whether it's really happening or not, whether you're in the body or whether it's just a vision. And Paul says in the verse 1 that he's going to now talk about visions and revelations. So the point of all of this is the influence of Holy Spirit is so strong that it can move you from one location to another, like Philip when he was translated. And it can move you by the Spirit from earth to heaven, like Paul. And whether it was really your body went up there and you were absent from the body, or your body wasn't present on the earth when you went up, or whether you just went by the Spirit, it doesn't really matter. That's not the point. The point is it's a vision, it's a revelation, it's an influence of heaven communicating through Jesus Christ by Holy Spirit, something that you are to live, carry, become, bring forth into the earth. It's usually foretelling, and it's usually going to be warred over majorly. I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Verse 4. Kim, my invisible man. Verse 4. Oh, he didn't have his headphones on. See, I'm invisible. I am. You can't hear me if you don't have your headphones on. It's okay. I will contain myself today. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which are not lawful to utter. Interesting. Inexpressible words, not. He heard. Always, in everything in the kingdom is seeing and hearing. Everything that you carry that will have influence and give you victory and will cause you to be a threat and will cause you to be warred over is what you see and what you hear. It's all, that is your testimony of Jesus, and that's the sound, that's the revelation. He heard things you were so profound that they were just for him to hear, not even to be uttered again. Of such a one I'll boast, yet of myself I'll not boast, except in my infirmities. Now here's an oddity. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees in me or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. So what came with this abundance of revelation was an abundance of warfare, troubles and struggles and conflicts. Satan said, you know, I don't want you to have the opportunity to see these things you're being given privy to. I don't know exactly what it is, but I know one thing is you're going to hurt my kingdom if you get freedom of movement, so I'm going to make your movement very restricted, very buffeted, very difficult. Your fleshly life will be troublesome here. Now, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Those weren't flippant, you know, Father, can you get rid of this, please? Thank you. No, I mean it really, Father, can you get rid of this, please? Thank you. Now, I'm going to ask you one more time. Father, can you get rid of this, please? Thank you. No. These were seasons of prayer where he sought the Lord for a season, where he stepped in and go, Lord, see, everyone in this room, I promise you, to the level you've heard the Lord, you've had conflict to keep the word you've heard from coming into freedom and fruition. And in your initial response, I know mine was, I think, gosh, I got to get rid of this thing, this buffeting, because this buffeting is keeping the revelation to release exaltation or the movement God wanted. And so I'll concentrate on the buffeting. And I'll go into mom and say, God, we've got to get rid of this thing. And this is what the Lord said. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So Paul heard the Lord say, my grace is sufficient. You don't need this to be resolved. My grace will have a greater access, is all you need. And your weakness is actually where my strength is going to rest. I remember as a young man, 15, 20 years ago, the Lord said to me in a very simple question, he said, we can't both be strong. He said to me, he said, we can't both be strong. Either I'll be strong and you're weak, or you be strong and I'll be weak. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to think, you know, I better to be God, be strong, than you're weak. But neither does it take any, you know, person that lives through it and goes, you know what, I don't know that living weak is really very good. It's not attractive. No one rallies to the weak. Hey, let's go follow this weak leader. Jesus had everybody following him until he talked about going to Jerusalem and suffering under the hands of the elders and being beaten and shamed and killed. And then next thing you know, Peter, his right-hand man, is trying to talk him out of that plan. And Jesus says to Peter, you can't think that way because you're thinking like a man. And you don't advance the kingdom with manly means. I like that, manly means. The resource of flesh is not going to make the kingdom advance. And that's what he's being buffeted in, his capacity to do what he needs to do. So, therefore, now he says in verse 10, I take pleasure, which means I'm okay with infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Which is an oddity, because that's a choice you make that's counterintuitive. Let's go back to verse 9. So he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The word rest is to tent upon. God is not looking for your strength to overshadow. He's looking for your weakness to habitate on. He's looking for you to be in a point of neediness where he rests in that neediness and dwells there, than in a point of sufficiency where you don't need him. He actually goes to the place of chaos to bring light. He goes to the place of death to bring life. And as Paul learned, is as a minister, he wasn't able to just get rid of one so the other could stay there, but they actually kind of coupled in some form. Okay? So keep that thought. So infirmities, weaknesses, inability to produce results, reproaches, which is bad press, feeling awful about yourself, being told you're no good. Needs is the restriction of resource and ability. Persecutions is being chased after, or told this, or driven from there. Distresses are narrow places where you're trying to barely get through the little hole. And all of this for Christ's sake, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So now go with me to Revelation 12. I want to show you something that's will mark the end of the ages, because it's in the book of Revelation. And we'll begin, I think, in verse 7. But it also, I think, is on us. So you have heard something. Satan has resisted it. You have found yourself in a place that you're not able to get freedom fully from. But you do discover that in the place that you're being warred over, you have great access to heaven. And you actually find that there is a grace that comes to you that wasn't, that seems to be, you'd want it to displace the problem, but it seems to just become sufficient in the problem. Anybody had that experience? Right? I mean, whatever. Nobody's had that experience? Right. I mean, you'd like it off of you, but if you get into the presence of God, you not only don't need it to be off of you, you're really good. You're really solid. You're really strong. You're really wonderful. You're really alive. So now Revelation 12, it says, and war broke out in heaven, verse 7. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found in them in heaven any longer. Remember I told you war is always about taking somebody's place or keeping your place? Right there, Revelation 12, 7 and 8. War broke out in heaven, no longer they did not prevail. There was no place found for them. My book called Saved Your Seat comes from the promise in John 14. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you, that where you are, you may be. You may be where I am, you may be also. The word place is a place that is yours as long as you occupy it. If you don't occupy it, it's not yours. It's like a parking spot at the mall, right? A spot at the beach on a summer day parking spot. It's yours because you're there, and nobody can make you leave that. But it isn't yours if you're not there. You can't put a cone out and say, I have to park here all through Christmas. This is my parking spot in front of Macy's, and it's mine when I'm not using it. No, it's only yours when you're using it. Well, in the kingdom, there are things that you are meant to not only just come and go, but to literally begin to live from. And Paul was learning to live from heaven while his flesh was being lessened on earth. God was increasing, he was decreasing, he was living out this truth. But he was having to learn to live from heaven and not try to resolve the earthly problem. So now, this is a whole big teaching, and it's all in my book called Whatever I Win, about the warfare that we're in. But let's continue on, because I just want you to see now how it affects us individually. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. I believe this is a current battle. It's not the one that was, it was legally won when Jesus rose from the dead, but it's like, so was Iraq, legally won when we stopped fighting. But as you can tell, there's still fighting going on. They're still contending. It's not all been displaced. So he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then, so as this displacement takes place, as we take our place from heavenly positions, Satan ends up getting stuck only on an earthly position. As our earthly position may seem to weaken, we end up having a greater authority from a heavenly position. Our heavenly position's authority is from what we've seen and heard. It's from revelation, experiences with God. God is our authority. He will not look at your life and say, what I said is wonderful, but you don't qualify by how you are. He says, what I've said is wonderful. My son has paid the price. You are what I said you are. I don't really care what it looks like for you. Now, that is a hard thing to say, but it's like a trainer having to say to an Olympic athlete, There's more in you. Rise up. Run this a little faster. Run a little harder. You can do this thing. You don't get a coach on the level of Olympic capacity to say, oh, you know what? I think that's pretty good. You know, no problem, man. You know, we won't go to Brazil this time, but it's pretty good. You know, for most people, they can't even jump as far as you can already. So why train? No, it's calling us. He's calling you. There's more. And that's what God's doing. He's calling. I've got Christ in you. When I was in Thailand, the Lord said to me, he said, I want you to preach to Christ in people. I'm in them, and I want out of them. I want access. I want to come alive. And they're sitting there stuck in their world, and they're letting their world become their tomb when I am the one who busts out of tombs. So let's get awakened to Christ and disregard the situation. It'll solve itself once Christ resolves. Once Christ gets up, death issues are no longer a problem. So he goes on and says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. That's why I know this isn't when Jesus was raised from the dead. This is when the church takes her supremacy in Christ. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now, which means now, at this current moment now, because of then, which then is because of what just happened, the displacement, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come. The Greek word salvation, soteria, which is a whole idea of, I can't break all these down, I don't have time, next week, next Sunday. Salvation, strength is the word for dunamis, so you can use power, and power is a word for authority. So the authority of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of our God, and salvation, which is what we've been given and brought and are bringing and seeing, it's come. It's already here, but it's now come. It's fullness, it's greatest measure, it's display. Everybody is having access where people are being kept in captivity of thought and fear and anguish and mindsets and bondages and struggles and addictions. All that just starts to lose its capacity to keep people in the dark. And all of a sudden, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ are coming. And you say, oh God, I want this to come. Come on, I want this to come. Come. Well, here's all we got to do. Hardest thing we'll ever do. Because for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. The last enemy we will overcome before death is swallowed up is listening to the accuser accuse us before God day and night. Now, I've asked the Lord, because I meditated this for many, 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 many years, and especially the last 4 years, how does the accuser accuse me before you, because he's not allowed in heaven anymore? And the Lord, in his simplistic help for me, he said, you bring him here. You bring him here. You're the one that listens to his words, and you bring him up into my face. I don't want to hear this stuff. I already resolved all this through Jesus Christ. And you're the one telling me, oh, I'm so sorry. Fine to be sorry, but quit living in your defeat when it is my victory you need to take hold of. Do you see? So when I don't let him accuse me, he loses his place to usurp my authority. Because you and I were made to sit in the second heaven. We were made to rule with Christ in heavenly places. We were made to exercise prayer and intercession over the nations and really expect change. But we get sucked into the vortex of the flesh and the world that's decaying and dying, thinking that's our trouble and struggle, and we're trying to spend all our time trying to solve one little issue. God's saying, you're missing the point. You're supposed to be seated with me. I went and prepared a place for you. Satan took your place. Let's displace him from your place. You take your place, hold your place, and a whole realm of salvation, power, kingdom of God, and authority of Christ will break into the earth. But all you got to do is stop him from telling you, what are you doing here? You don't have any right to be here. Get up, get down. So it says, here's how they did it. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. The blood of the Lamb is everything, everything. I'm teaching everybody that I can that whenever I come and ever you go to the Lord, you come in there by the boldness of His blood. You don't come because you had a good day. Don't tell God, I had a great day today. I can't wait to be with you. Because I tell you what the rest of the day is going to be like. You'll have a bad day. Or maybe you can go 3 days. Or 3 months. Maybe you've gone 3 years having 3 years. Probably not. You just probably weren't aware that you weren't doing anything. Because the hell is just, it's vicious. It's insidious. It's a whisperer, a backbiter. It's a law manipulator. It's a prosecutor. It's a legalist. It can use the law to control, but it never keeps the law. It is the most malicious thing, and it hides in religion better than any place in the world. Next thing would be politics, and after that would be mammon. But it rules in religion because it can always say, hey, you shouldn't have touched that, you know. And, you know, you shouldn't have watched that. And you definitely should be praying more. And when you pray, you don't pray right. Because you need to pray in a different form. You need to pray in Christ's name when you've been praying just to the Lord. And it's shut if you listen to it. And it always starts by saying, hey, let's improve what you're doing so you have greater success for the kingdom. And you bait and switch. Yeah. Oh, you are something special. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you are. Yeah, yes, I am. I'll follow you a little bit. Then all of a sudden, now that you have followed me, you're not enough. Never enough. You know when religion's around you because it's never enough. It's never enough. What you did was not enough. What God is doing is not, it's just a never enough. That's okay. Let's try better, maybe. And it makes God falsely seem to be a judge that's critical of every move. To the point that if you start to improve yourself toward the Lord, read your Bible more, pray, fast, seek to engage in what is important to Him, after a bit of time, you realize you're not at the quota that you hope to be, and you start to feel the condemnation coming towards you. And next thing you know, you're thinking, oh, how do I get better? And you try harder, and then it gets more, and then you try another time, and it gets more. And it just gets so weighty that people kind of, we lose our place because we've been accused. The only reason I'm here in the presence of Papa and in your presence is because of the blood. His blood made me accepted. His blood made me bold. His blood made me redeemed. His blood remitted my sins. His blood purged my conscience. His blood speaks better things. It says to me every day, Steve, you're forgiven, you're forgiven, you're forgiven. It is my place of my answer to every charge. The idea of my word, of my testimony isn't, you know, how I got saved. Although that's part of my testimony, but it isn't the word that gives me victory. The word that gives me victory is what I heard God tell me. It's the truth that He's spoken. It's things I've seen and heard, and I can prove that. You just go read John 3 and you'll find it. It's what you see and what you hear is the revelation of Christ, which is the testimony of Jesus, which is what you get the victory when you carry it. This is why when you're in the presence of God, the greatest thing you can do is tell God what He told you already. Because that's your confession of hope. And when you have a confession of hope, you have an alive testimony. A confession of hope is the word of your testimony. It is God has said, God will do, God is good, God is kind, God is faithful. And these are the things He said to me personally, particularly, and I'm going to worship with you. When it comes to the end of your life, the last part of your breath, as you die, the one thing that will be judged over you is nothing that you did, nothing you've accomplished or didn't accomplish. It'll simply be one thing. How's your confession of hope going? Because if you hold fast the rejoicing and boldness and confession of hope firm to the end, evidently my papa and your daddy wants you to hold hope as large as it ever has been on the last breath that you breathe. Oh, that's good. That's good. Because if that's what is important, then that's what we should practice. And if you, I don't know about you, but you don't get an applause by telling people your confession of hope. You either get their unbelief or jealousy. So go tell Papa, Daddy, you said to me, and I praise you because whatever you said, you are able to do. and I glorify you, and you've activated it. And you know, and I can't ever do that to Papa without him first starting to say, you know what? And I forgot another thing I want to tell you about that. I want to tell you even some more about what I'm going to do. Oh, you're awesome. Then I descend from my place in heaven, and there is my adversary wanting to, you know, buffet my flesh. And I go, you know, the distance between heaven and earth is getting further. But then along comes the Holy Spirit and says, just all you got to do is to disconnect from this is don't let the accuser accuse you. He has no right to say anything to you. And if he says, well, prove what you prove. Prove it. And you say, I don't prove anything. All I do is live in what I've heard and what I've seen. And here's the Father's words. His word is my future. Whatever he said, that's my future. Oh, I can look at your life and go, by the way, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to go, well, everybody's going to keep going where they're going. The only reason we're going to go to the destiny of our future is that God spoke life to us. And that life we're agreeing with is just, it starts to, Satan just loses his place. If he can't accuse me that I have no right to be here and I have no future, the next thing you know, he's got to frighten me out of my wits to save my life. Panic. What do I do to protect myself? What do I do to protect this little thing I have? This is so little, and it's the only thing I have left. I got to control. So the fear of death he wages against us. But the power of the Holy Spirit is what undoes the fear of death, because he has the innate, unique ability to come into anybody's life in a prayer moment and say, guess what? I got you. You're safe. No worries. We're going to win. He doesn't say, I won't let you die. He just says, I got you. He doesn't say, it will only get better. He just says, we're going to win. See, we never know what's going to happen. We just know that he's with us. His Holy Spirit is empowering us. He's strengthening us. Now, let me show you that really quickly. Go to Romans. Well, Revelation 12:12, because here's the end. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. I don't think that's only people who die and know Jesus. I think in the last days, there'll be a company of people who live from heaven. Their residence is more heavenly than earthly. They have more authority than anybody else because they just live from the place that God gave them. They live in the blood, they live in the promise, and they live in the power. And they're walking in a realm of salvation and power and kingdom and authority. And it's not something that anyone controls and can control them. They're just there, and they're in a joyful state. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil's come down to you having great wrath because he knows his time has come short. Our identity in the earth is not a good place to build an identity from, because we see the wars that are breaking open. They're not going to go away. They're going to increase. They're not going to go away. They're going to increase. So we're going to either hunker down into our little house and us four and no more, or we're going to get big, bad, and bold and say, let's go out into the world. Let's live for God wherever we are. Let's live and love God whatever we do. Let's not be critical. We're not going to condemn, and we're not going to control the world back to righteousness. We're going to love the world by being loved ferociously and being fearless as we go out. So Romans 8 for 5 minutes, and then I want to activate you. I'm telling you, Christ wants out. He wants out. He wants up. He wants out. He wants to be the boss. He wants to frame your thinking. He wants to tell you how to stand up when the devil's telling you to shut up and sit down. He wants you to begin to say, what? I'm going to agree with Jesus Christ. It'll activate your prayer life. Your whole prayer life will go into a whole nother realm. Because again, prayer is that place where I can habitate with God in the Spirit. And when I'm in the Spirit, I'm in heaven, heavenly realm, heavenly truth. Truth is where I can let that confession of hope. God gets in agreement. He's enthrilled. I've never, ever had the Father say to me, how dare you bring that promise back up to me, son? You blew it, and you're not getting it. He's never said that. But when I whisper and whimper, barely having the faith to say, God, I believe what you said is true, but I can't see how you'll ever do it. He says, oh, watch me. Watch me. I can do anything. I'm God. And all of a sudden, he reframes my thinking. So in Romans 8, let's start at 19. Yeah, for the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Earth's waiting for us to stand up. For creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. Creation, Adam's your boss. He'll take care of you. He'll tend you, protect you. Oops, Adam, you just committed high treason. Not only have you sinned and fallen into the iniquity and the enslavement of hell, but so has creation. Creation, don't worry about it, because I'll redeem Adam. Adam will grow up. Once Adam comes into his sonship in Christ, he'll free you too. That's what that means. So the whole creation is groaning. Come on, guys. Come on, come on, come on. Oops, sorry, that was an earthquake. I'm sorry. I need something. I've got rumblings. Come on, come on. The earth is crying out. Come on, come on. Free us. Rise up. Verse 23. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. How many are Spirit-filled here? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. All right, tap your belly and say, hi, Holy Spirit. Good to have you here. You have the first fruits. But not only do we have the first fruits, we ourselves are groaning, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. What we just said in Paul. We've got struggles that we seem to not be able to see the completion, freedom. We just find there's grace to walk in and see strength settled there. But we want redemption. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one hope for what he does not see? So you see, hope is the key, D. Hope is the thing. If you ever feel like sitting down, shutting up, and not doing anything, it's because you lost your hope. If you ever want to pull your checkbook back and say, give less money, because you lost your hope. If you ever want to work less, do less, get a pizza, that's because you lost your hope. Hope is the whole war. It's what the war's over. But if we hope for what we do not see, we then eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So there we are, holding that place. Perseverance works with joy. It's happy waiting, joyful perseverance. Joy is a key. If you're joyful enough, then you can do anything, right? That's why the world does all of its ways of becoming joyful, so that it can endure what it's processing. We get to go to Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, I need to have the measure of joy to the tribulation I'm in. He says, good, count on it. Anytime you're in tribulation, just count on my joy, because joy is coming, because joy is your strength, and joy is what you have to be in the midst of so we can stay in agreement, so we're not being off the playing field and put on the sidelines and giving up the game. I want you in the game. I want you expectant. So likewise, the Spirit. So now we've had the creation, we've had ourselves, and now we even have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit in here. He is helping us with our infirmities, our weaknesses. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but he knows, because he knows the mind of the Father. He knows the will of God. He knows our situation. He knows us. He is in this union, communion. He loves his job. He gets to dwell in chaos every day and just keep going. I'm going to bring this into perfection. And when the light is spoken and the words are fully heard, I will be the power to produce it. I can't wait to explode in this person. They're just learning to hold my truth. They're just learning to believe the word. They're just learning to fellowship in prayer. But when I have that moment and Father gives me that freedom and they put the demand on my power, there is nothing that I will not do. So he's the most hopeful person you're ever going to meet. He's more hopeful than any of us in the room on our best day. I mean, he is so hopeful that he looks at your life and he smiles. Because he's just going, hey, we got this. We just totally got this. It's all paid for by Jesus, and I have all the power to execute it. It's totally cool. Now, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. And now we're about to learn the will of God. Ready? Oh. We know that all things work together for good. So everything that has touched your life, God is able and willing and choosing to make it work together into the good column. All of it. He makes all things work together. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and called according to his purpose. How many love God? How many are called to his purpose? Well, then everything's working to good. Even the bad stuff. Even the warfare. Even hell. Even betrayal. Even destruction. Even sickness. It's all working to good. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Bring it to good. You should, you know, when I'm in a bad situation, I'm learning to say, everything that's not going right, you're going to yield. You're going to yield to good, so you might as well yield now. And let it go. Here we go. Release, release. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. See, this is where Father, Holy Spirit's working from. He's working from old files. Pre-Adam sin. Post-Christ return. He's got the entire program. He's got the whole series of the video games. Not just the newest release. He's got ones that haven't been released yet. He knows where your character ends. He knows where your character began. He knows what the intent of the creator in the character was given. And he knows what the Redeemer brought you out of your captivity to become. He knows creation and redemption. Redemption trumps creation. The glory of redemption is greater than the glory of creation. I do not want to return to the original intent. I want to become redemption's glory. I want to be a trophy of grace. I want God to use me for the rest of eternity and say, you want to see how good I am? Look at Steve. You want to see how kind I am? Look at Steve. You want to see how patient I am? Look at Steve. Just look at him. That's what we're called to be, Ephesians 2. Moreover, so we're predestined, called. Wait, verse 29. Please, sorry. It's hard to follow me because I'm just jumping. Moreover, okay, he predestined he foreknew and he predestined to conform me into the image of his son. That's our outcome. You're going to look like Jesus. Tell your neighbor, you're going to look like Jesus. You will look like Jesus. And tell your neighbor, that will be a miracle. You will look like Jesus, and it will be a miracle. It will be power exercised by Holy Spirit words prompt. So, that's our goal. Now it says, moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. That's what happened. We are just living life, and something beckoned us to respond. Holy Spirit heard the voice of God. Scripture came alive. Join that group. Begin to pursue. We start to follow. That's calling. That's volitional. That's where we yield it or fought against or resist. It's a continuum. Calling, 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 calling. We can stop listening. We can shut down. Or we can hear. And then we can follow. And then when he called, he justified. So anybody who responds to the call is justified. That means the Father says, listen, I will pay whatever mistakes you make. I will cover you from whatever things happen to you. I will guarantee the outcome will be what I chose for you. Isn't that good news? And not only did he justify, he glorified, which means I already have you glorified. Not going to be. It's all past tense. In Christ, you're already glorified. So he says, well, then what shall we say to these things? Well, it's simply, if God's for us, who can be against us? That's a really good power statement. God's for me. You might as well quit trying to be against me. God's for me. Nothing that can be against me. God's for me. Now, again, the accuser is saying, oh, yes, he can. You were naughty yesterday. Now God's not for you anymore. Naughty people he isn't for. He doesn't like naughty people. But isn't that what happens? You stop praying. Oh, God quit working because you're not praying. Oh, you stop believing your promises. Oh, they're not yours anymore. God gave them to somebody else. No! That's a bunch of traditions and religious Christianity that's crumbled up in yuck. Not the Bible. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He doesn't change his mind, hand them to somebody else. That is like a cursing word. Oh, these people were so wonderful. Now they're so awful, and I'm so mad. Please, don't tell people Jesus like that. He's not like that. If he was, he would be in a constant argument with the father. Please, Father, don't hurt them. I saved them. Oh, I'm so mad at them, son. I'm going to stamp them out like a bug and make America become a squash. No, Daddy, you can't. Remember, I died. Yeah, but that was then. Now I'm mad. Yeah, but please, come on, come on. Don't let them. I'm not listening to you, son. That isn't even the prayer that ever comes up in the presence of Father. Father never, ever, ever goes back on Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, ascension, intercession. Everything is based from that. The intercession is Jesus saying, Holy Spirit, here's the promises that I promised this man. He hasn't yet got them all, but he's got some of them. And this is the destiny that I've given this man. I paid for the destiny to be fulfilled. And I'm going to stand in agreement with my father. For my father says, because I paid for it, he's got it, and it's done. And we're not going to break agreement with the truth of what has been said and spoken. And I want you to communicate it to them, because we're going to stay in agreement until they get it. Think about it. Now here's the point. We're going to close. You can do this in your living room. You have to do this in your living room. No one else can do this for you. We can do it together and do the benefit of like going to a gym class. We're all in the same pain at the same moment. But we can't do it ourselves. I mean, somebody else can't do it for us. We have to come into agreement. So here he says, if he's for us, who can be against us? He didn't spare his own son. How will he not also give us freely everything? He put his wrath on Jesus. He put his wrath on his son for us. How now will the resurrected son not freely give us everything we need? Who will bring a charge against us? God's the one who justifies. That's accusation. Who will condemn us? It's Christ who died. Furthermore, has risen and is even at the right hand of the Father, who's making intercession for us. He paid the price. You cannot make us pay for it a second time. Consequences, sure. Stupid is stupid. But it doesn't change Father's disposition to you, his heart to you, his commitment to you, his promises to you. That's why prayer is the key. Wake up in the morning, recalibrate to heaven, let heaven speak to you again, get your hope back in alignment, get your confession alive, because he's faithful, he promised, he knew you would be stupid, but he still can do what he said. And then go, oh, Shabbaya, and now all of a sudden you're carrying something. What are you carrying? Salvation. You're carrying power. You're carrying the kingdom. You're carrying authority, because you are displacing hell out of your head. And if you're going to get hell out of the heaven, you got to get them out of your head. You are loved. You are delighted in. You are brilliant. You're God's best redemption project. It's so good. Who can bring a charge? God's justifying. Who can condemn? Christ died, raised from the dead, seated the Father, making intercession for us. What will separate us from the love of Christ? And then it lists all the things that can happen. And everything will happen. And you will feel all of them. But you're more than a conqueror, even though you look like sheep for slaughter. Let's look at the church and see how strong she is. Meh. Meh. Okay, follow Jesus. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Meh. Because God says, you know what? I don't need you to do anything. I just need you to believe. I need you to agree with me, believe in me. What I said is true. Let what I said overtake where you're at. Let what I said define who you are. Let what I said be the place of fellowship in union and delight. Stay here in union. Get enjoyment. Hold my confession. I'm building a house. You're my house as long as you hold that hope alive. And so he says at the very end, last verse, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what I'm learning and I'm practicing, I want to release it to you, is that when I come in the Father's presence, I come and I agree that heaven is already knows who I am and knows where I'm going because of Jesus Christ. I yield to the Holy Spirit who wants to quicken, awaken a larger sound of that, visions and dreams. I then come into the recognition that whatever's happened and is happening is coming under the will and purpose of God. I've gotten to the point where I can say every day, this is the perfect will of God for me. And that's hard to say when it's not the will you want for you. But I can say it. This is the perfect will of God for me. God has me. And then God will agree and say, yeah, you have no idea how hard it is to keep you still. This is the perfect will of God for me. And everything is turning to good. Outcome is good. Outcome is good. And then I start to go, Lord, I thank you that you knew me, predestined me to be conformed to the image of Jesus, the firstborn among many brethren. I thank you called me and I responded. I thank you that you justified me and glorified me. So now today I stand in your presence, justified, glorified, and in union. I'm one in Christ. I'm inseparable. I cannot be sent away and I cannot be taken out of. I am in union with Christ, glorified in Christ, and I am called or justified and completely, all claim against me has been neutralized. And then the devil comes and he goes, well, let me give you another argument. And I say, the blood. It's that one old, the blood answers that too. Yeah, but look at your life. Read your newspaper print and it's nothing like what God said. I don't care. What God said is true. What that looks like isn't the end. Yeah, but things have changed. Characters have changed. People aren't even around that were part of the promise. So what? God can change the context, but the promise stays the same. The essence of it will find its manifestation here. Yeah, but you're never going to, and then you're going to die before you go. If I die, it's gain. To die is Christ. To die is gain, to live is Christ. So I'm in union. And I see this, and I want to just prophesy this, because some of you are so close to the explosion of Jesus Christ rising up inside of you. You're so close. You've been so put down, so discouraged, so accused, so condemned. Religion has just beat you up. And now all of a sudden, Jesus is saying, come on, we are victorious. You are in me. I am in you. Father sees me. He sees you. Father sees you. He sees me. Stand up. Stand in my place of victory. Stand in my agreement. Let justification get through your soul, into your spirit, into your emotions. Walk to work tomorrow. I'm justified. Walk into work, I'm glorified in Christ. Walk into work and say, I'm in union with God no matter what happens. Walk into the face of a layoff with the same confidence. Walk into to your checking account. I'm justified, glorified. I'm in union. Walk wherever you walk in this oneness. This is how we displace hell. Start here. Here, then we get there. We carry, I am loved. Oh, yeah, but look how your life is. I am loved. Oh, yeah, but it's been so long. I am loved. Oh, yeah, but you really aren't the person you ought to be. I am not going to be a better person. I am saved. I am loved. I am justified. I am glorified. And we start to hold that place. And hell starts to push it against us. And we hold it, push it away, hold it, push it away, hold it, push it away. And finally, hell just starts to get tired and doesn't bother you on things that you no longer will yield to. The blood, the word, the Holy Spirit has become powerfully, vibrantly alive. And now you carry atmospheres. Now you can change other people's feelings about things. You can go into work and say, why should we all give up when we ought to be getting ready to have victory? You can tell your servant, hey, don't worry about those chariots around the city. There's more with us. And you go, what? Yeah. Lord, open their eyes. Because you carry authority. Because whatever you win, you carry. Whatever you obtain is yours. It's yours in Christ, but when you obtain it, it's yours to give. Freely you have received, now freely give. So something's happening. So stand up, please. Because I'll just go again. Something's happening in your life. Go ahead, right now, where you live, what is contending against you? What is cursing you? What is telling you you're no good, you never make it, your life is over, it's never going to work, blah, 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 blah. Don't be afraid. That's the deadness of your body like to Abraham and Sarah. But now, in the name of Jesus, I want you to step into the promise that God has spoken over you, the words you've heard him say. I want you to let Holy Spirit come alongside of you. Sometimes you'll pay attention to the stuff that we're troubled in, but most of the time it's like it's not even there with him. And he calls you back into remembrance with visions and dreams, promises and words and desires and hopes. And he just says, he quickens them. He makes them come alive. They begin to become a place of fellowship, union, called the confession of hope. It dwells in the presence behind the veil. Holy Spirit, come. This is your job now. Come into every one of us and everyone on the internet, anyone listening, and quicken and make alive hope. The God of hope, right now, fill us with joy and peace and believing we can abound in this hope by your power, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Now, if your hope is alive or hope is faint, I want you to say, I am justified in Christ. I am justified. Just as if I never sinned. Just as if that never happened. I am justified in Christ. Now I want you to say, I'm glorified. I will be completed. God's promises will be fulfilled. God is able to perform whatever he promised. He is faithful. He made a promise. He will perform it. And that's my righteousness, that I believe that what he said, he will do. I am glorified. And I'm in union. I am one with Christ. I cannot be separated from love. Love is everything of God's heart, his attitude, his embrace, my position. I now enjoy the love that Christ had with the Father before the foundation of the world. And I now enjoy the glory Christ had with the Father before the foundation of the world, according to John 17. So, Holy Spirit, thank you. Make these truths real. Be that Olympic coach for me. Call me up. Call me higher. Call me stronger. Call me into agreement to what it is you are, what you're doing, who I am, who I'm becoming. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Thank you. Ministry team will be up here for prayer.